Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms. Psalms 131. Psalms 131, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. A song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The title of my lesson for this morning is A Snoring Toddler. And I've taken it from what we just read from Psalms 131. Like a weaned child rests against his mother. Recognize the characters in this drama, but that's Emma, our granddaughter, asleep on her mother, our daughter-in-law, at least she was up until this time. Whenever our children were young and I would come home from work, it didn't matter to me if Teresa hadn't had her nap yet or Jed when they were infants, because what I wanted was to hold them as they slept. What does that do for you as you hold a sleeping child? I know they get a little bigger, a little squirmier, it's a little more difficult. But I think it is the very essence of drawing out the poison. It just takes away the turmoil of the day to have that little body breathing, snoring, if you will, to feel their heartbeat. And it's comforting, certainly to the child, but it's comforting to the parent, I believe, as well. And so as the psalmist says that when he's in the presence of the Lord, it's as if he is like a weaned child upon his mother. He is saying, Lord, when I come to you, I am consoled. I hope that that's what you feel this morning as we worship together, that there is a consolation that comes to you as you come into the presence of the Lord and in the accompaniment of his people, as we pray together, as we sing, and certainly as we study God's Word, that there is a sense of security, a peace that passes understanding. And so our emphasis as we look at these chapters from Psalms is going to be upon that communion or fellowship that we have because of being in Christ. Let me back up for just a minute. I won't play the snoring again, I promise. Maybe later. 15 of our 16 Psalms we read this week from Psalms 120 through 135. 120 through 134, if you look at the top, at least it is in my Bible, perhaps it's not identified in yours, but this phraseology, a song of ascents, and that's where these psalms all appear congregated together. You won't find psalms of ascent outside of 120 to 134. But take a quick look, and if your Bible doesn't say a song of ascents, raise your hand. And it may be up underneath the chapter heading. It may not be like in mine, the first appearing as the first words. But does everybody's Bible have a Song of Ascents? A-S-C-E-N-T-S. What does that mean? When you ascend, that means you go up. Well, these songs, we believe, were sung by the Jews as they came to Jerusalem for whatever feast days they might have been having. And so you've sang in the car, and perhaps like my family, you sang hymns in the car. As they walked along the road, as they made their pilgrimage, you cannot approach Jerusalem without going up. Because Jerusalem is in, and if you talk to someone from Palestine, it's in the mountains. Now you talk to somebody from Colorado, and it's in the hills. And so we could argue that point, whether it's in the hills or in the mountains. But I was raised in Oklahoma, and we had mountains in Oklahoma, and Quartz Mountain was a hill, but we called it Quartz Mountain. And you could climb it in about 15 minutes, and you could get down in half that time if you were brave. But we called it our mountain. So it is with Jerusalem. And what we're going to look at this morning are lots of pictures. We're going to sing various songs. I have at least four picked out. You may find another one or two that I didn't choose, but we're going to sing at least four songs drawn from these Psalms from 120 to 135, which emphasize a community singing praises to God as they walk along the road, ascending to Jerusalem. So if you'll turn with me, just indulge me for a minute. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And I just want to kind of paint the picture of this entourage of pilgrims as they walk to Jerusalem. And within this group is a 12-year-old boy. And what I want us to hear as they march along, as they head toward Jerusalem, and especially as they near its gates, are the Psalms that we're going to be looking at. These Psalms of Ascent. Beginning with verse 41, Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Now, what did we just have pictured for us? The pilgrimage of Joseph and Mary and their family. Now, Jesus has four brothers. He has at least two sisters. And so that's quite an entourage, a family that wouldn't have been if Jesus is 12 years old. All of those kids may be present by now. It doesn't have to be. But they're all younger than Jesus if they're Joseph's boys, right? Because Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus. But he has four brothers, at least two sisters, maybe more. And this group is traveling, I believe, because of what happens next, with a whole host of friends and relatives. They've come to Jerusalem singing these songs that we had from Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. Picturing what? When I come to see the Lord, it's as if I am asleep on His breast. Do you ever sleep like a baby? You say, yeah, I do it every time you preach. Well, that's okay. Just talk to Eutychus and see how that turned out. We talked about that this morning. But they would be singing these songs, and they're songs that talk about the loving kindness of the Lord. They were songs, as we read this week, that talked about the servants within the temple, that talked about the priests. They were songs which emphasizes the Mount Zion and the temple and the place where God resides. And so as we go through these pictures that I'm about to begin to show, and as we sing these songs, I want us to get into this frame of mind of a pilgrimage, of a coming together to worship. And of course, they did this at least on an annual basis, as we see here with Joseph and Mary and their family. They would have come down from Nazareth, which would have been in the neighborhood of some 80 miles in the way of a journey to come down. They planned. This was like a spiritual vacation. They would plan and set aside money in order to do this. Now, as they're leaving, just to give the sense that it's really a caravan of people, It says that he stays behind, verse 43, and his parents weren't aware of it. But look at verse 44. But supposed him to be in the caravan, went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among the relatives and acquaintances. Such a big crew of friends and family that they don't miss him for the first day. And by the time they get back and find him, it's been 3 days that Jesus has been separated. Now, how old is he? He's 12. We can kind of imagine a 12-year-old getting separated. But what is he doing and what has he been doing? He is in the temple discussing the law with the leaders of the Jewish people. And when they find him and are aghast that he's not been concerned about being separated from them, what was Jesus' response? The first words we have out of Jesus' mouth, mine are still red-lettered even though he's just 12. Verse 49, and he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? I hope that takes on new meaning today as we look and as we study the Psalms that we are about to. Because in Jesus' mind, he is saying to his folks, this is why we came to Jerusalem. This is the only reason we came to Jerusalem. And where else would you have been looking for me but here in the temple? Now, he has also implied, and we often teach, that at 12 years old he understood his mission, that he would be about his Father's business. But I think what Jesus was relating to them was, at 12 years old, I know not just who I am, but whose I am. Didn't you know this is where you would find me? You lose a child, is it the church building the first place you go to look? You say, my child's not going to be at the church building. Seth ends up disappearing. And Stacy and Chandra are beside themselves. Is the first place they're going to come to is the church building to find him? Perhaps. But what does that say about Jesus at age 12? Your version may have read, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? This is a map of Jerusalem. It's not the clearest, and so hopefully I can point out some things to you. We're going to be looking at pictures. A lot of them, when the wall is being shown, is this easternmost front. The temple is here, the gate beautiful, or the golden gate is about in the center. We'll see a good picture of that. And we have an old picture of the city of Jerusalem because the current city of Jerusalem and its walls follows this line, so that this white dashed line, named the City of David, is outside the current city. And so we will be looking down on the city from up here across the Kidron Valley, and that is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas betrayed Jesus. And we'll go up and we'll look down on the Gate Beautiful from here. We'll travel a road that circles or semicircles and runs to the east of the wall, runs down this way. And we'll initially start at looking at some pictures of Jerusalem in this area as we travel to Bethlehem, which is just south of the city. I'll point out some things, but really what I want you to get the sense of is how unlevel the ground is. And how that if you're coming from the plains or from the coast or from the desert, that this would look mountainous to you. And so that as we look at Jerusalem, I want you to imagine it to be a place of the hills. This is just on the southern border of that map that I showed you. The Kidron Valley is there. That's on the side of the Mount of Olives. We're coming down, crossing the Valley of Hinnom, and going to Bethlehem. They must have a homeowners association that's pretty strict. Because everything looks like it's come right out of Jesus' day. They cannot build a building or a house without putting limestone facade on the outside. And so many of these are modern dwellings. But in our travels, we saw some stone quarries. And that's pretty good for a limestone quarryman if every house has got to have his product plastered on the outside. But you can see the rolling hills there. Oh, have to have an advertisement. Look closer. Look closer. This is in Bethlehem. And unfortunately, it wasn't open. We went to the Church of the Nativity, and I saw this across the street, and I thought, oh, that's not what I think it is. Stars and bucks, which is appropriate, though, right? Coffee's not cheap. But as we looked around there in Bethlehem, you see the high rises, but they're all covered with the limestone. Coming back to Jerusalem, this is one of the roads toward the southern exposure of Jerusalem, the current one. Here in Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2, and I want you to turn, if you see at the top, whenever I throw up a scripture, if you see a page number, I want you to go ahead and be turning to that. Turn with me to hymn number 544. We'll sing that in just a minute. 544. From Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. A song of ascents. Imagine the pilgrims. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. You know, we live in this beautiful valley, surrounded by mountains, most of them to the west and to the south of us, and even to the north, not quite to the east. But we have 14,000-foot peaks. And what do we know about those mountains with regards to the weather? When I first moved to Buena Vista, the Chamber of Commerce, I think, is the one that was putting this out, but perhaps it was someone less informed. They said this was the banana belt of Colorado. You ever heard that about Buena Vista? I'm sorry, you can't grow bananas here. I've lived here long enough, I know that that's not technically true. But what does it say about where we are in the valley, the Arkansas Valley? The mountains protect us. And so we are somewhat nestled. And what I wanted you to almost picture, just as we've had the mother with the child being embraced, is I want you to visualize Jerusalem, which is built on Mount Zion. That's where the temple resides. That's the reference to Mount Zion. I want you to imagine Jerusalem as being a nesting place because of the mountains and because of the hills. And visualize, perhaps not literally but figuratively, the concept of a place surrounded and protected. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. This song may not be quite as familiar as others that we have sung. Hymn number 554. I'm sorry, 44.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds.
We were in Memphis a few years back, In fact, I think it's probably been at least 4 years, if not 5 years. And Teresa said, why don't you put the girls down for their nap? And they have a tradition that you sing a song with them before they go down for their nap. And they may each pick a song. And we said, okay. Jack's not on the scene yet. If he is, he's really little. So it's Evie and Edrie. And we went into the bedroom where their bunk beds are, and I said, okay, Evie, what song do you want us to sing? And she says, sing As the Mountains Surround Jerusalem. And we said, we don't know that song. She said, I'll sing it for you. And so we were serenaded and introduced to this song, and so that was very dear to us. And in the concept of what we're talking about today, it, to me, it has a warm, fuzzy feeling, because what I'm hearing as we sing that song is family. Could you see Jesus singing that with Mary and Joseph as they approached the city gates, as they came and Jerusalem came in sight? There's a place over this side of Lamar as you're coming across the highway, as you head toward Colorado Springs, when you first sight the mountains, when you can first see the peaks. And if you're the one driving, I'm sure you're looking for that. I always am, if there's not a storm or the wind hasn't kicked up. But it to me, it's home. I'm nearing the place where I'm heading. I'm not there yet by far. But I think as they traveled and walked and they sang these songs of ascent, there was a longing being created. There was a community of voices being raised that was saying, Lord, surround us. What kind of influence do you think those pilgrimages had upon the communities that they passed through as they sang songs together, songs of ascent? So I want you to look at these psalms, as you can clearly see, in somewhat of a different light than maybe you had before, and look at them as songs of welcome. Here is a evidence that we got close, at least, to the city of David. I think we probably drove practically right through it. Looking back now at the map, we have traveled to the south. Bethlehem is off the screen here. We've crossed the valley. We've come now into the city of David. And I think, if my memory serves me correct, we're about to travel this highway, which runs right next to the eastern side of the city, and travel up onto the Garden of Gethsemane. You can't see the Garden of Gethsemane to pick it out from this, but kind of keep an eye on this onion-shaped set of domes. I think that's the Russian Orthodox Church. Does that sound about right? I might be wrong in that, but I think they're the ones that built that. And actually, the city walls are behind us as we travel, or right next to our left shoulder as we travel around this road, and we'll travel up into here and then look down upon them. But what I want to emphasize more than anything else is the terrain. We're now up on the far side. We're looking down from the Garden of Gethsemane. Here's the eastern wall. Do you remember what that gate is? The Golden Gate. That's the gate. Beautiful. And so this would have been the scene for Jesus on the night of his betrayal. If he had enough daylight to see across the Kidron Valley, this would have been probably more of a trash area, because that's where they dumped their garbage. But he would have been looking across and seeing the city. That's the gate that he entered the week before to the sounds of Hosanna. Save us, we pray. You say, that gate looks like a wall. It is a wall. It's all walled up, because Islam has determined that they're going to prevent Christ from returning. And in their mind, he's going to enter that gate when he comes back. And if they can wall it up and desecrate it with Muslim graves in the front, then he'll never consider crossing such an unholy place. You can't see it from this picture, but the arc of the Golden Dome, of the Dome of the Rock, is just on the left side of that from our position. But do you see the terrain? A song of ascents. Turn, if you will, to hymn number 113. And this particular psalm, if we were to sing all the verses, is almost inclusive of everything that's written in this psalm. I'll read the psalm. You can kind of look at the verses as I read, or up here on the screen, either one. From Psalms 121, beginning with verse 1, a song of ascents. Think again of the pilgrims. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Now, those aren't our mountains they're talking about. And those aren't just any mountains that they're referring to. A song of ascents, what mountains are they looking for? I will lift up my eyes. Look at them. They're wondering, are we close yet? Is it coming? Can you see Jerusalem? Can you see Mount Zion specifically? I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Continuing. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you. These are travelers. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Do you see Joseph and Mary? They came in, they went out, they came back in, they went out. The prayer was what? Lord, protect us. I'm sure they were praying in that 3 days' time, please take care of Jesus. Wouldn't you have been as a parent with a 12-year-old missing? Why were you longing and looking for me? Did you not know where I'd be? Where do our souls find rest and consolation? I look to the mountain, to the house of the Lord. Hymn number 113.
Do me unto the hill.
Now, we have left the Garden of Gethsemane, moved to the south, but we're still on the eastern boundary of the valley. And now you can see across the wall. Our elevation has gained so that the Gate Beautiful that we were looking directly on is here. And now you can see the Dome of the Rock. And of course, we know for Jesus' time that that would have been the location of the Temple of Herod. And certainly the Temple of Solomon prior to that. Jesus would have entered probably through these gates down here, which are also walled up at the present, but they are excavating steps that Jesus could have entered. Along here was Solomon's portico, where the early Christians worshipped, where the apostles were distributing the food that was given to the church for on behalf of the widows. So when Jesus would have entered prior to his death, he would have come into the Gate Beautiful and would have probably made a procession down through that portion of the Holy Mount. Just some other pictures. You can see the onion-domed temples, still looking. So we're looking now toward the north. Our hotel was up in that area. We came in from the West Bank, which would be up that way, alongside the River Jordan. There's our means of transportation. Proof that we were there, although I'm sure that probably could be Photoshop. And now we're looking down across how the streets run now. The city of David that we had outlined on the older map would be this area here. And you can see now that some of the walls have been rebuilt in a fashion that allows for transportation. The Dung Gate is here. It's significant because that's how they would have gone out to dump their garbage. That's why it's called the Dung Gate, in order to get it down to this valley. But it is somewhat an oxymoron because that is the way that you go in order to pray at the Wailing Wall now, where the Jews have the only portion of the temple left to them is that western wall. They would come in through this way or down through the city itself in order to reach that. We'll see some pictures of that. That's the Wailing Wall. So for sake of our illustration for today, we have moved from the mountains and Jerusalem being somewhat nebulous and large. Now we are at the most holy place, at least as close as we can get to it. And we are at the place of God's worship. And so for the Jews of today, this is that which I am amazed that they share with us, because we're Gentiles. And yet they do kind of cordon it off every morning. You will not see any in this picture that are non-Jewish. They actually have some barriers set up along this route here that would forbid you from entering. You would be checked. And so all of these are Orthodox Jews. This is the men's section. Over here is the women's section. And they're stuffing prayers and praying to God at this western wall, this place of worship. In this particular psalm, Psalm 122, in our reading for this week. By the way, next week, in case I forget later, we're not supposed to read the last two chapters of Psalms, but in order to finish Psalms, let's go ahead and do that. We'll read from Psalms 136, and even though our reading says to stop and not read 149 and 150, they're short, let's just go ahead and read all of that. I'm not sure just where I'll draw my lesson from, but it could be from those as well. Psalms 122, verses 1 through 4, a song of ascents of David. I was glad, think of those Jews at their worship. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Imagine you're back in Nazareth, Capernaum. Perhaps you live in a foreign country and you're up in Syria at the time whenever the feasts were being kept. And someone came up to you and said, it's time. You say, what time do you mean? It's time. We've got to get moving if we're going to make it to the feast. We've got to get on the road. I think this is a response to that. And the psalmist says, I was glad when the time came for me to get together with God's people and to go up and to worship the Lord. Do you see it? Do you hear it? This is exciting. This isn't something that's a drudgery. Now, it is law. It is law. It is a commandment for them to make this pilgrimage. But what is the psalmist? What is David saying? It was no drudgery for me. I was happy. I was glad when I was able to go up into the house of the Lord. And so I think these Jews, probably of all Jews in the entire world, feel the luckiest. Because here they are, able to approach what they consider to be the most holy place of holies. That they share it with us, I think is remarkable. I want to read this quote from John Willis. Dr. Willis was a teacher of mine in Abilene, and he's written a book on the Psalms. And with regards to Psalms 122, he wrote these words. The psalmist expresses his great delight when his fellow believers ask him to go with them to the house of the Lord, in parentheses, the Jerusalem temple. Now here's his commentary. When one does not yearn to come together with God's people In a building built for the purpose of worshiping the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe? Something is wrong with the message that is proclaimed there, or the spirit of those who attend there regularly, or the heart of him who is not thrilled at the opportunity. Does that have truth? Do you know where it hits me? That last one. If I'm not excited to be with you, to worship God together in a place that is designed to worship him, where's my heart? What am I thinking? Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things that happen. There aren't some differences that take place and perhaps some opinions that we don't agree with. But the psalmist is saying, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord and worship. Now, there's a Gentile at the wall. You know how I know that's a Gentile? Because that's me. That's me. And you have to wear a head covering. I don't pray with my hat on. I'm old-fashioned about that. But if you don't have a head covering on, they'll give you one before you approach the wall. You will be given one that you can carry home, but you're not going to go up to the wall without something on your head, because in the Jewish system, that is a sign of disrespect if your head is not covered. That was special to me. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Outside, there are children gathering together, laughing. This is a fountain. I'm supposed that they're supposed to be drinking out of it, but they're wetting their faces, washing their hands. It's hot. When we went up on Masada, it was 108 degrees. It wasn't quite that hot in Jerusalem. This is not from our reading of this week, but earlier, and I want us to picture what we've had so far, the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, the child asleep on her mother's breast, the temple of the Lord being a place in which the soul is consoled, and I'm glad to be there. And then listen to this one, because this one is almost whimsical. And perhaps you noticed this as we read Psalms 84, but this is from Psalms 84, verses 3 and 4. And I want you to imagine someone standing in the holy place and seeing an act of nature which seems at most to be insignificant. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. You know what the psalmist has just witnessed as he's standing in the holy place, in the area where they're worshiping God? You've seen swallows, mud daubers, martins. They make their nests anywhere, don't they? The ones I can visualize make them of mud. And they'll find a corner outside, perhaps on your porch, maybe in your barn, perhaps anywhere they can find a location. Sometimes you discover them and you think, what in the world is that doing there? And it's right up in the corner and it's a little mud, almost can't even enter it. It's so close to the top if it's right angled. What has the psalmist seen? A bird who has built his nest in the altar of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean it's right on the altar, but it's in the holiest of holy places. And instead of being disgruntled and upset, like I get when that bird was trying to peck a new hole in my post on the deck, and I decided I'm going to keep that bird from making my post a hollow log, and I drilled and put a plastic lid over the spot where they were trying. I'm just terrible, aren't I? The psalmist doesn't see that. What does the psalmist see? He sees with a heart of compassion, and he says, this bird gets to dwell where I long to come, and this is his home. Oh, how I wish that was my consolation as well. Mountains surround Jerusalem. The temple, a place where one can be with God. The child on her mother's or his mother's breast, and the nest of a bird. What are we having pictured for us time and again? It's a song of ascents, but I'm going home. Isn't that what this is all about? I'm returning to my Creator. Shouldn't that make us happy? Shouldn't we long for the opportunity to worship God, to be in a place where He is? Do you want to hear her again one more time? Probably not, right? This is just to the south of Jerusalem. I'll show the map again. That is a place, that red roof that I just showed, is a place that designates the house of Caiaphas. The significance of that is that's where Jesus was brought to be tried. And this is what it looks like from that spot. We're looking back toward the Golden Dome, so we are mostly south, but a little bit west. The church of the Gallicanto, or Gallicantu, the church where the rooster crowed. And Jesus is there being put on trial. What does Jesus know about what he's about to suffer? That he can only do it if the Lord is with him. Turn to hymn number 388. Had it not been the Lord. This is from Psalms 124, beginning with verse 1. A song of ascents of David. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us. Do you see Jesus? They would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the waters would have engulfed us. And the streams would have swept over my soul.
No. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been the Lord who is on our side, blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
From Caiaphas' house, that would have been the view that Peter would have seen, if he could have seen during the night, the courtyard, the surrounding area. Would you call that a place of rolling hills? I even got someone's laundry in the picture. I wonder whose flag that is. This week we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. This is a shot from the Via della Rosa, which is the darker blue line that's up here, the route that Jesus would have had to have carried his cross, at least traditionally. Here's the Temple Mount, would have come out and gone to what is known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So here's a scene of that road, very narrow. That's within the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That is where they say that Jesus was buried. The rock upon which his body was washed. I prefer this scene, which is more toward the northern side of the Temple Mount, Hill of Golgotha, place of the skull. You can almost see eye sockets, perhaps a little bit of a mouth. And then not far from that, the garden tomb. But guess what? It's empty. It's empty. Turn to hymn number 271. This is a new song for us, 271. Thinking about Christ and the things that he suffered, how he trusted in God.
Know me, Father of mercy, we bow before thee. Bless us, oh bless us, and hear.
Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, as a child, a weaned child upon his mother's breast, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord." And like a bird who has built its nest upon the very altars of God, I long for home. A snoring toddler, how well do you sleep? In the arms of our Savior, it should be comforting and sweet as we stand and as we sing.